Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all out this morning to what is our first live in-person morning service since March. So it's quite a momentous occasion in one sense, but it's also nice to have folk joining us online. So we're streaming this morning service as well. So a warm welcome to those of you that are joining us online. What I want to do is just share a verse from the Bible, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll continue with the service. It says in Psalm 9 and verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Now, we don't necessarily, as we gather here, have the option of singing in the same way as we've been used to in the past, but we can sing in our hearts. So as we go through the service and we see the songs projected, we can be rejoicing in what those songs are telling us about our gracious God. But those at home, of course, you can sing for all you're worth. No one else has to know necessarily, but they might get to hear, and we praise the Lord for that. But we're privileged, aren't we, to be able to worship the Lord in these days. And so as we come to him this morning, let's ask for his blessing. Let's ask for his help upon our time together. Let's pray. Glorious Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to thank you that we can indeed at least in our hearts and with our voices on those occasions, we can praise you. We can praise you because you are worthy of our praise. You are the righteous and the holy God. You are a God who loves us and has displayed that love to us in the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. And so as we come and we seek to worship you on this morning, we ask that you would be present with us, that you would speak into our lives, that by the power of your Spirit that you would transform and change us to be those who not only know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, but live like the Lord Jesus Christ in these days as well. Lord, we want to thank you that you bless your people. Lord, not just here in the UK, but around the world. We thank you that you are with every one of your people at this moment in time. Lord, there is no one who knows you, who is, as it were, bereft of you today. Everyone can know your presence and know your help and strength, and we praise you for that. We thank you that you are so almighty and, Lord, all-powerful, all-seeing and all-knowing. Lord, we thank you for all of these, of the aspects of your character that mean that we can trust you and that mean that we can worship you today. We ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to work mightily amongst us, and we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we're going to see on our screen here, and you're going to have streamed to you, O little town of Bethlehem.
God imparts to human hearts
So we're going to next, we're going to see the younger ones, the Seth and Georgia, who've been doing the children's talk for a long time and who are a little bit nervous about doing it in person. So we've videoed it and it's going to be displayed on the screen for you. One day I might actually get them to come in the church service and we'll do it live here. But they've got to be a little bit more confident to do that. So I'm going to hand over to Georgia and to
Wow, this is really Christmassy. Look at it. A tree, some presents.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. I think I finally nailed Christmas decorations.
Yeah, well, they can't actually see us.
Yeah, they can. You just gotta look. If you move over a bit, you can be that side of the tree, and then I'll lean in here.
It's pretty uncomfortable though. I think we should just like move things.
Well, let's have a bit of a reshuffle. If I move some of the presents out of the way. I just bopped the microphone. We'll leave the cards in. Look at that. They can't see them, but it doesn't matter.
So, Georgia, we've done games and we've done gifts. Two big traditions at Christmas. What tradition are we going to do today?
Well, I've got here a Christmas cracker. Ooh. I thought we could do a Christmas cracker.
I do like a Christmas cracker.
Well, if I pull on this side and you pull on that side, and we'll see who gets it. Ha ha! I beat you. And what's inside? Oh, a hat. I'm going to have to put it... I'm not sure. We'll see. There we go. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to put on the Christmas hat. We'll leave that for the side to the side for now. And then also inside, I've got some little stickers. Ooh. I'll certainly be sticking those on some stuff later. And finally, a joke. Did Rudolph go to school?
I don't know. Did he go to school?
No, he was elf-taught.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. I'm going to have to tell my friends.
Oh, we're in the middle of a children's episode. We're trying to do the children's talk.
No, but it's too funny. It's, I have to tell them. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Yeah, I've got a really funny joke. Do you want to hear it? Did Rudolph go to school? No, he was elf-taught. Yeah, it was just so funny that I had to tell my friends.
Oh dear. Well, if you're quite done, I'll move on to the talk. Today we're going to be learning about the reaction that the shepherds had to Jesus. So far we've talked about the wise men and King Herod, and the week before we talked about Mary and we talked about Elizabeth. But this week we're going to talk about the shepherds and their reaction to Jesus. Now, do you know any part of this story?
Yeah, the angel came down and said there was a baby being born in Bethlehem, and they all went and like brought lamb to Jesus, and they all, you know, saw the baby Jesus.
That is true. That is what happened after the angels came to see them. But I want to talk about what they did after they went to see Jesus.
After?
Their response to seeing baby Jesus. And our memory verse for this week is Luke 2, verse 17, which says, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child." You see, when they had seen Jesus, they went around and told everyone they could find all about him.
Nice. But why did they do that?
Well, in the same way that when you heard a really funny joke, you wanted to tell all your friends about it, yes. The shepherds knew that when they'd seen Jesus, the news that they had been told was really important. They knew that it was life-changing news, and so they wanted to go out and tell everyone they could possibly tell all about it. And I wonder if that's your reaction at home, kids. Because we should still be excited to tell our friends all about the good news of Jesus. Because just like when the shepherds first heard it, now it is still just as exciting news, just as life-changing, and just as important that everyone we know should be able to hear about it. So I hope when you see your friends and when you're talking about Christmas, you're telling them that the most important part about Christmas is Jesus. Now we're going to sing our Christmas song. I bet Seth's excited. He's been loving it. Yep. That's about as many of the actions as he's memorised.
Yeah.
And we're going to sing our Christmas song and then we'll come back and pray.
Jesus will reign, King over kings, a name above names. So every tongue will say Christ is Lord, who gave his life to win the world. Yes, it is true. Come to you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christmas is getting closer. We thank you that we have this whole time of year that we get to celebrate you. We pray that like the shepherds, we would go out and tell everyone we know all about you and the good news that you brought. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe over the holiday period and that we'd all have a nice rest from school. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.
Patrick's going to come and read God's word to us. He's going to read from Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through to 38. In
the 6 months, God sent angel Gabriel to Nazareth to a virgin pledged to be married, Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Went to her and said, "Greeting, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And wondered what kind of be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. the Lord God give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Never end. This be, Mary, asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High overshadow you. So the Holy One to be, even Elizabeth, your relative, going to have a child. And she who was said to be able to conceive a sick month, no word from God will ever fail. I am a poor servant. God, may your word to me be filled. Then
thank you for reading that for us, Patrick. We're going to pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come and we simply, while we bow our heads, we ask that you, in your grace, would enable us to know your help and your presence as we pray, as we seek your face over various different issues that we are struggling with at the moment. We come and we recognize that you are a God who answers according to your wisdom, Lord, not according to our wants and our desires, but according to your wisdom, according to your wonderful plan that you have for all your people. And so we praise you for that. And we ask, Lord, that as we come and we seek your help, that you would enable us to bring to you the things that matter. Lord, we have just had news as a country which many people are finding hard to bear, Lord, with the Christmas plans that people have been making unable to go ahead. Lord, we recognize that this is difficult, and we recognize that some people are going to balk at that, that it's going to be a problem for them. And so we pray, Lord, that in your grace that you would work in the lives of all who are struggling with this today. Father, we pray for those families that did want to meet together but won't be able to now. We ask, Lord, that you would enable them to work round that situation, Lord, maybe to find ways of doing that electronically. But Lord, we pray and ask that in the midst of all of the things that we do over Christmas, we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would be made much of, that he would be seen as the reason for the season, that he would be seen as the one to whom all of those who are struggling in this time can turn. Lord, when we think about this whole COVID-19 situation, and we pray for your grace to be poured out, Lord, upon our world. This is causing so much mess and upheaval. Lord, many people's lives will be affected, not just for the run of the virus, as it were, but, Lord, for a long time to come. Some are losing their jobs at this moment in time, some who have not seen family and friends and who are struggling mentally. Lord, there are many problems the world over, and so we ask that you would pour out your grace upon us. Lord, we know that we do not deserve, Lord, that you might treat us, well, in any other way than our sins deserve. But we praise you and thank you that you show grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift our voices to you and we ask that you would be merciful to us, that you would be merciful to those that do not know you this day, that you would open the eyes of their understanding, that they would see who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that they would recognize their own worthlessness and their need of the Savior. And so we cry out to you and pray that you would be working in lives this day for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that there is good news on the horizon. We thank you that these vaccines are being rolled out, Lord. We ask that you would watch over the program to roll them out, particularly in this country, we would ask. We ask as well that you would make sure that all is done right and well. And Lord, we pray that we would very soon be able to get back to some degree of normality. But Lord, again we ask that you in these days would bring more people to know yourself. Lord, that our trust would not be in vaccines or even in science, Lord, though they serve you and are of use in your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that our trust would be in you, the God who is in control of all of these circumstances. And Lord, in our day when we struggle to find truth, Lord, our politicians wax and wane and flip about, and Lord, we don't ever seem to get a straight answer from anyone. We thank you and praise you that in these days where there seems to be so little truth out there, we thank you and praise you that you are the truth. And we can depend on you, and what you say will happen. What you say is true, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that it gives us confidence to live our lives in these days. Lord, though we may struggle with them, we thank you and praise you. We can depend on you and know that your word will remain constant throughout. Lord, lift our eyes from the things that we face to the God that we serve. Lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be like Peter when he gets out of the boat with all the storm raging. As he fixes his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he can walk upon those stormy waters. And Lord, keep us from being like him when he turned his gaze away from you and sunk under those waves. Lord, we pray and praise you that even in that situation, he simply had to return his gaze to you, and you were right there and held out your hand for him in order that he might regain his footing. We praise you and thank you that you are a God of great and amazing grace this morning. We pray that you would be at work in us. We ask, Lord, that as your word is opened in a moment's time, Lord, that it would speak into our lives, that we would be changed people, that we would not continue to be what we were, but we would be transformed by your Holy Spirit to be more like our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon all today. We pray for your people around the world. We know that many are suffering, Lord, not through COVID-19, although that's perhaps made problems worse, but many of them are suffering because they simply own the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask that you would draw alongside all such today, that they might know that great comfort that comes from the God of all comfort, that they might know the strength that comes from the God who is all powerful, that they might know that you are near and that you will never leave them nor forsake them. We thank you and praise you for all that you do for us, each and every one. And we ask that we would continually shine the light on the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him high in amongst the people that you've called us to live. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to see another song this time. It's O Come All Ye Faithful. So we'll watch that.
Of angels singing exalted.
Bibles then, if you can have them open at Luke chapter 1, and we're looking at those verses 26 through to 38. I wonder, have you ever been stuck in your life and concluded that your situation was helpless, that there seemed to be no way forward? We sometimes go through those periods in our lives, don't we? We find that all things are pressing in on us. We don't seem to be able to make any way forward. It feels a little bit like the situation that we're in now with COVID-19. You know, we just sort of think that things might be getting better and then things seem to get worse. Well, Elizabeth, in the first part of Luke chapter 1, she felt rather like that. She had faced the stigma for years of being unable to have children. Then one day, everything changed. What seemed impossible in a matter of moments was transformed by the God who makes the impossible possible. Now, we looked this morning, we had read to us from those verses, we had read to us the story of a poor girl who had, well, no real prospects in life to speak of, who was so ordinary that actually her sister is given the same name as her. If you look in John chapter 19 and verse 25 at the foot of the cross, you discover that Mary has a sister called Mary. So somehow in that situation, I don't know whether the parents were perhaps a little bit unimaginative and couldn't think of more than one name for their children, I don't know. But somehow she seemed to be just ordinary and really not got anywhere to go. Her only hope, the glimmer of hope that she had for her life, was that she was betrothed to be married to the local carpenter. At least this man had a trade, at least they had a way forward, as it were, in that sense. But she didn't really have much else going for her. Well, you might find yourself in a similar stage in your life at the moment, particularly in these days where it feels as though there are few prospects for you, where it feels as though nothing changes and life is a bit of a grind. You might be in that same situation that Mary or Elizabeth found themselves in. You might be like Elizabeth, feeling the scorn of others and feeling your own inadequacy, unable to move on or to accomplish whatever it is that you feel that you wanted to do. Or like Mary, you might have a small glimpse of hope in an otherwise dreary existence. It may well be that that's where you find yourself this morning. Either way, you need to fix your eyes on the God who has or who worked the impossible in their lives. So this morning, I'm exhorting you to fix your eyes upon God, upon the one who can change and transform seemingly impossible situations. 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, and it's interesting, if you read the account of Elizabeth, what you understand is Elizabeth is so shocked and overawed by the situation that she faces that she puts herself into hiding. She lets no one know that she is pregnant. She keeps that as hidden as she possibly can. Whether she wore baggy clothes in order that people might not see, or I don't exactly know. But there is some way in which she tried to hide the fact that she was pregnant. And here is Mary. She's minding her own business when out of nowhere, a messenger turns up to deliver a message. 6 months after that message has been delivered to her older cousin. And this message that the messenger turns up with is no ordinary message. In fact, it's a heavenly messenger. And that comes out in verses 26 through to 30. There is a heavenly messenger. Now, when you deliver a message to someone, almost as important as the message is the way that you deliver the message, isn't it? Have you found that to be true? I know that it's true in the way that you say things. The way that you deliver what you say actually goes a long way to how people will receive the message, doesn't it? You know, sometimes you'll get into an argument with your wife or your husband, and you'll repeat back what they've said to you, and so they'll say to you, but I only said it in such and such a way, taking away the tone that they originally used, so that it sounds harmless and innocuous, when you know very well that the first time that they said it with a great deal of vehemence. So the way that you present a message is of importance, isn't it? And we know that too when it comes to proposals, don't we? If you're into watching any YouTube clips, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have proposed to their girlfriends, and they've tried to do it in various different ways. And the way that they do it is almost as important as the question that they're asking. Now, some of those, of course, have fallen flat on their face. They've asked, and whoever it was that they were asking didn't really want the commitment. So the message and the way that the message is delivered has to be important. So here we know that the message that Mary was to receive was of significance because the angel Gabriel gives it. And we know that he is a messenger of significance because you only have to go back a few verses in Luke chapter 1, and you read this of what Gabriel says as he's delivering a message to Zacharias, and Zacharias is struggling to comprehend the message that is being delivered. In fact, so much so that he doubts what is being said. And this is what Gabriel says. He says, I am Gabriel. There's almost incredulous tone in Gabriel's voice. He says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So can you imagine the situation? The angel Gabriel turns up to speak to you, in all of his celestial glory. And you're stood there and he is delivering a message to you. And as you are hearing this message, you're like, this is too good to be true. I can't believe a word of this. And as you're sitting there thinking that, and perhaps it's showing in your face, that just the whole incredulous nature of it, that angel then gets affronted by the fact that you will not believe what he is saying. One of the most powerful beings in the universe, and you have the gall not to listen to him. This man of God, which is what his name actually means, Gabriel means man of God, is not to be ignored or dismissed. He comes with a powerful message. Now, humanly speaking, that would be like the Right Honourable Edward Young, I think it's Sir Edward Young, the Queen's private secretary popping, to see you, rolling up your drive or up your front path, knocking on your door and delivering a message to you from the Queen. Now, we might find that a little bit hard to get our head around as he turns up in his royal apparel and as he delivers the message. We might find that hard to get our head around. We might think, well, maybe somebody's having a joke with us. But such is the significance of this event. God sends one of his archangels, one of his angels, one of his chief angels to come and deliver this message. Well, Mary is listening. But she is clearly unsure what a celestial being would want with her. And her mind therefore goes to, I think I might be in trouble. That's really what happens, isn't it? If someone shows up of some significance or importance and comes to us and we're not expecting it, automatically into our minds goes the thought, what have I done? What am I in for now? And so here's Mary. She's greeted with this celestial being, with Gabriel. And all she can think about is, what have I done? What's gone wrong? How am I going to get out of this? Well, Gabriel brings good news. And what does he greet her with? He says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And then he proceeds to say, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And I want to say this morning that it is no small thing to be in the Lord's favor. Sometimes I think when our lives are going well and everything seems to be going rosy for us, we seem to fall into this idea of thinking that, well, that's what we're owed. You know, that's what we should expect. We should only expect nothing but sunshine and roses. And when things begin to go wrong, we get into a mess. To know the Lord's favor, which is what we're talking about, the goodness of God shining upon us, is not a small thing and not something that we should take lightly. Now, many of us today would like a rich benefactor, wouldn't we? You know, maybe somebody that we know who, perhaps we wouldn't want the money ourselves, but we'd quite nice to know someone who is rich, who is powerful, who could, you know, if we get into a mess, that could help us in the midst of that mess. Well, Mary is being told, as she hears this message, she is being told, the one who made all things, the God of the universe, is for you. He's on your side. In fact, he favors you. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? To think that the God who made this world would be so concerned about a woman, a young woman at that, in a backwater town in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, she hadn't quite got to Bethlehem yet, in a backwater town called Nazareth, that God would be remotely interested in here. God comes and he tells her that not only is he interested, but she is favored by him. Now, we are not in Mary's unique redemptive position. We do not stand in Mary's shoes exactly. But we all have a message that has come from God that we can choose to believe or choose to doubt. The message comes to us, actually, in the person that Mary will deliver in a few months' time, comes to us in the person of Jesus. So not just a messenger from God, but God himself delivers the message, and he says, look, come to me. You know, all you who need or know that you need forgiveness of sin, come to me, believe in me, and you will be highly favored. But like Mary, like Zacharias, we have to be those that make the choice. So the question is, knowing that God speaks, knowing that he wants to bestow his favor upon us as he bestowed it upon Mary, will you, and he asks us this question, will you trust me with your life or will you doubt me? Now, I can't answer that question for you this morning. I can't, as it were, point to you and to say, to tell you how you should answer that question. Only you can answer that. Will you trust the words of God? Will you trust his promises to you? We ask that question, don't we, in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that he has made it possible for you to be right with him for all eternity? Will you trust him? Will you take him at his word, as Mary had to do? Second thing in the passage, we see a heavenly messenger, but we also see a heavenly child. That comes in verses 31 to 33. Now, Gabriel's message is not just good, it's mind-blowing. It is a staggering message. Mary, God is not only for you, he has a role for you to play in his plan. You are going to have a child. Now, if the angel had stopped there, Mary might have thought to herself, well, that's a lovely thing, isn't it? I'm really pleased that God is going to bless me with children. And I'm really pleased that I'm not going to be like Elizabeth, my older cousin, who's facing the stigma of having had no children all of her life. She might have thought that this is wonderfully good news, and I'm looking forward to being married, and now at least I know within my marriage we're going to have children. And we'd have said, well, you know, that was a good thing to know, but it wasn't exactly staggering, was it? But it's the next bit that packs the punch, isn't it? Mary, you're going to have a child, but that child, well, you're going to call him Jesus. Well, first and foremost, being told what you're going to call your children is often a funny thing, isn't it? You know, whenever you have a child and you asked by a dozen different people, what are you going to call them? What are your names that are in the hat? And then they start giving you suggestions and you screw up your nose and you think, you know, I'd never pick any of those. you know, if they were the last name on earth. Being told what you're going to name your child is a funny thing, but here is Mary. Here is Mary, and she is being told what her child is going to be called, and she's being told what her child is going to be called because his name is significant. Jesus, we have it, or Yeshua, he is the one who will save his people. He will save his people from their sin. Well, that's mind-blowing. I'm going to have a child. He's going to be called Jesus because he has a significant role in saving his people. Well, if we analyze the message at that point, we might say, well, you know, that's good. There have been people called Yeshua, Joshua, down through the centuries. And yeah, they've been handy in rescuing a group of God's people. We could go back to the Old Testament and look at one example. And you might think, well, this is good. I'm going to have a child and he's going to be of significance and he'll rescue the people of Israel. Yeah, okay, well, so this is getting better news, but it's not the greatest news I've ever heard. But then the angel throws in, and he's going to be known as the Son of the Most High. What he's saying is, you're going to have God's Son. I don't know about you, but I think I'd probably be quite floored by that message. That would be too staggering, really, perhaps, for me to grasp, to get my head around. And yet here is Mary. She's listening. The Son of God. How does that work? That's mind-blowing. And Mary is having to take on board this message. And then remember who Mary is. She's just an insignificant girl in an insignificant town, marrying someone of relative importance within the community, but not of great importance. And then comes the message, not only is she going to have the Son of God, which is hard enough to get her head around, but from her comes a king. And not just any old king, a forever king. A king who will always reign. If you were in Mary's shoes, you'd be thinking, right, well, at this point, either the man before me is completely nuts and it's time to leave, or you'd be thinking, wow, just how do I comprehend this? How do I factor this into my life? How do I make sense of what God is saying to me here through this angel? And Mary has to ask herself that simple question. Am I prepared to believe what I am told? Am I prepared to stake my life on what is being said? Mary is being asked to believe something that she cannot even comprehend. Sure, she knows God was one day going to save his people, but now? And Mary thinks, and I get to be a part of that? Who am I that I should be involved in such a plan? Who am I that God should be using me? Well, even in our privileged position of being able to look back and knowing all that the Savior would do, many today still do not believe that Jesus is Savior, do they? Think of our own family and our own friends. Think of our neighbors. Think of, well, the large part of the UK society do not accept that Jesus is Savior. Much less that he is Son of the Most High, that he is the Son of God, that he is God come in human flesh to dwell amongst us. Most people can't take that in, can they? And the thought that he reigns forever, didn't he die on a cross? Wasn't that the end of him? But most people dismiss him. You see, even if you understand the significance of the messenger, it does not mean that you will believe the message, does it? Even if you get who Gabriel is, even if you comprehend and work out the words that are involved in Jesus being born as a baby, a coming man, even if you get that, that doesn't mean to say that you get that it's true, that it is what God has said and it's going to happen. So Mary has to trust God, and we have to trust God, and we have to trust that what he said about saving sinners, and that sinners receive the favor of God, we have to accept that that is true, don't we? Even if we can't quite get our head around the fullness of that message. The beautiful, glorious thing that when we confess our sins to Christ, we are forgiven. That no more will that sin ever be held against us, because God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Do we believe it? Does it transform our lives and change us? Does it make us to be the people that we should be? Are we willing to trust like Mary? So we've seen a heavenly messenger, we've seen a heavenly child prophesied, and we have now see a heavenly logic that comes in verses 34 to 38. It's at this point that Mary believes Gabriel. She believes him. She considers the message. She weighs it up and she says, yeah, I can see all that's being said and it makes sense in my mind. I can grasp it in that sense. But she wants to know how. And isn't that funny how humans, we always want to know how. We always want to know how something is going to work. We want to have all of the answers before we commit all too often. And her concern is a human logic, isn't it? As she thinks about her situation, she weighs up the message. The message is a powerful message. It is an incredible message. And as she weighs it up, there's a bit of human logic that bothers her. She has never slept with a man. So how am I going to be pregnant? How's this going to work, Gabriel? How can she get pregnant? What is being asked of her is her question. And so often that's what we want to know, isn't it? When we come to God, we hear his wonderful promises and we want to know, well, you know, what have I have to do now then? What does that mean to me right at this moment? And those aren't necessarily wrong questions, but sometimes actually they are tied in with human logic and not the heavenly logic that should drive us. And Gabriel's answer is heavenly logic. That's exactly what it is. So she is caught up with the little world in which she lives, just as we so often are. And Gabriel says, look, you've got to lift your mind a little bit higher than that. Mary, you will have no active part in this. We all know how babies are made. And Mary, it's not going to work that way. It's not something for you to do. It is something that will be done for you. It's something that you will receive. This will be entirely God's work. A new life will grow in you, Mary. Not by any natural means, but rather by the Spirit of God. You know, when you think about Mary, and you think about how we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have to have the same kind of faith. I don't understand how I will become a child of God. I simply trust that God has done it. That he will create in me Christ. You have to trust that God will work by his Spirit in your life. In you, Mary, the Son of God will be formed. So Mary had the privilege of carrying the Son of God, but not of forming him. That was entirely God's work. Only God could bring about the rescuing of his people, and all that was required of Mary was faith to believe. In verses 36 to 37, we see the grace of God in helping Mary to believe. You remember Elizabeth's inability to bear children? God has enabled her to be with child. You've seen what Elizabeth has lived through. You've seen Mary, how difficult that was in the society in which she was placed not to have children. But Mary, I've taken away that stigma. I've given your aged, because that's what the Bible tells us, your aged relative Elizabeth, given her a child. You see, nothing is impossible with God. He can do what we can barely dream of. In fact, he can do more, the Bible says, than what we can dream of. Such is the power of a God. Such is the power of our God. Here Mary is given tangible evidence. And don't you love that about God? He asks us to believe that Jesus saves. But he doesn't do that in a vacuum. He says, look, go and look at the lives of all of those that I have already worked miracles in. Go and see those who have already trusted in Christ, who have accepted him as their Savior. See the difference that God makes. I'm not asking you to believe just because I'm telling you. I'm showing you in people's lives how I change them. Wonderful. God knows what we're like. He knows that we have human logic that we struggle with. He knows that we struggle to think heavenly. And so in his grace, he gives us ways forward. So today, when God asks us to believe, he grants us others who have trusted God before, whose lives that we can examine, whose situations who've changed through nothing that they have done, but everything that God has done. Mary answers, doesn't she, with heavenly logic. She finally gets it. It finally all, as it were, comes into place. And this is what she said. She answers not with an earthly understanding, but rather with heavenly understanding. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary says, look, it's no good me trying to get my head around all of these heavenly things. All I know is that I can trust you. And I will be your servant and I will do what you have asked me to do. May your words be fulfilled. It's a declaration of faith, isn't it? Will we trust God with our lives today? Will we allow him to lead us in his paths, even when the world feels as horrible as it does at the moment? So this Sunday, God comes to you with a message. Believe in Jesus Christ, born to be the Savior of mankind, who died in your place, who has taken away your sin and shame so that you may enjoy God for all eternity. You only have to receive him, to believe in his word, and you will be found in paradise forever under the eternal King. Will you believe? But actually, I want you just to caution you just a moment or two. Mary's faith didn't come without a cost. Consider what Mary was asked to do. Mary was to be a woman, not quite in official wedlock yet, a woman pregnant. So she would have to weather the storms with Joseph. And the Bible somewhat sanitizes that whole little experience for us, doesn't it? Can you imagine Joseph's reaction when he discovers that his beloved Mary is pregnant? And then she comes up with a story that God did it to her? Incredulous would be something of what he felt. Angry would be something of what he felt. So Mary faces her relationship with the one person in her life that she loves being destroyed by accepting what God says true. Sometimes when you turn to Christ, you lose relationships, don't you? I believe Jesus. And so you discover that you lose your friends, because they don't want anything to do with you. We don't believe that nonsense. It's rubbish. You're making it up. She had to forego her reputation. Imagine what people would say about her as she walked around the town. There goes Mary. Have you heard about her? Either she's nuts or she's been sleeping around. She had to forego her reputation. And you know, sometimes when we come to Christ, it affects not just our relationships, but it actually affects our work life, community around us, because they do not want to know us. Because we've got something that, as far as they can see, has no earthly explanation other than an explanation which they don't like. And actually, humanly speaking, even her small prospects become untenable, don't they? She was looking forward to, the only glimpse of life, hope in her life, was that she was going to be married and be looked after by Joseph. And God says, look, maybe not even that will come through. But will you believe me, Mary? Will you trust me? Well, Mary trusted God. And in his grace, he worked all of that out for her. He chose to trust God even when it would make her look like a fool. Wonder whether we're brave enough to trust God in these days, even if it makes us look like a fool. Will you believe or will you reject? Mary has a lot to teach us, doesn't she? Let's pray. Loving Father, as we think about these things, we ask that you would impress upon us our need to believe what you say. Lord, regardless of the consequences in our lives, Lord, we know that that's a tough ask. But Lord, we pray that you'd give us the faith that Mary had. Lord, you were pleased to use an insignificant woman and to make her a highly favored woman. Lord, we would ask that you'd be pleased to look upon our lives and favor us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to hear our closing song, which is Angels from the Realms of Glory. And this time we're going to be sung to by Grace Church Guildford. And they're going to sing the song for us. morning. I'm going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Glorious Father, we want to thank you that we have a God that we can trust. We thank you that you gave that message to Mary, and Lord, you kept your word to her. We praise you, Lord, that we have that record for us, Lord. We thank you that it shows us how the Savior came to be like us, to walk amongst us, to live lives like we live, and yet to die in such a way as that we might be forgiven of our sin and be raised to life so that we might know that we can have eternity with him. Lord, we thank you for these glorious things, and we ask that you'd help us to live by faith in these days. For Jesus' sake, amen.